Hello, this is Beth Ludwig from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall share with you information from the July 2010 issue of Good Housekeeping magazine. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. Our first article is called Save Big This Summer by Leah Ingram. This season is a hot time for bargains on back to school and more. Here's cost-cutting strategies that could lower your bills by $4,500 or more. Summer is a great time to take it easy, but trust us, you do not want to expend the energy it takes to read these smart tips. They could save your family thousands. Number one, save on keeping your cool. If you cringe before opening your summer utility bills, see if your local provider offers what's known as an AC conservation plan. For instance, Shakopee Public Utilities in Minnesota offers a free smart switch option, which saves users up to $30 on their electric bills for their summer months from June to September by switching off their ACs automatically for 15 minutes at a time. A quick switch installation visit by an electrician is required. That savings is $30. Tip number two, upgrade your appliances. Another way you can save. If your fridge seems to be doing a half-hearted job of keeping the ice cream, well, iced, try the government's Cash for Appliance program. As part of the economic stimulus package, this extremely popular plan encourages Americans to replace old appliances with new energy-efficient models by offering hundreds of dollars in rebates. Details vary, so go to the U.S. Department of Energy's website, energysavers.gov. If you go for a big-ticket item, like replacing your home's old heating system now before the cold weather comes, you can receive up to $1,500 off your tax bill. Tip 3. Trim your haircut costs. Most of us have heard the myth that hair grows slightly faster in the summer, but don't let that lead you to more frequent and costlier cuts. Instead, space out your and your kids' trips to the salon, and don't opt for a cut when a trim will do. For instance, at the hair cuttery chain, a women's cut and blow dry costs $19, and a kid's cut and blow dry costs $16, but a bang trim is a mere $5. If you can stretch the time out between appointments, say from every 2 months to every 3, by adding just some fringe snipping, you'll have more cash in your pocket. In a family like mine with two daughters, the savings can really add up. It can add up to $75 a year per family. Tip 4. Take down tech fees. If you're in the market for a new laptop, summer is one of the best times to buy. The sale prices can be compared to those offered on Black Friday. That news should please anyone who has a child heading off to college and is in need of new hardware. Also, consider a new venue for savings. Barker discovered that you can have NoBetterDeal.com, which is akin to an online version of Marshall's. Stores send their products to NoBetterDeal.com when they can't sell them, or when the store doesn't put returns on sale. Some items can come in an open box. One shopper found that a Dell laptop that she saw in the store was $350, but it was $250 cheaper on their website. So using those types of websites can save you a lot of money. Tip 5. Snip back to school expenses. By the time the cute clothes and the tons of school supplies are purchased, the typical American family has spent over $500 getting ready for the next school year. To trim your tab, try shopping things like Ebates.com, which rewards you with money back. How it works, start your online shopping at their portal, which links you to 100 of e-sites, such as like Target.com. These sites pay Ebates a commission, and then Ebates passes the discount on to you. 6. Minimize your kids' after-school expenses. If your child is planning to play the violin in the school orchestra, don't automatically sign up for the instrument rental plan. Buying could be better. For instance, renting a violin or trumpet from Music and Arts, a nationwide chain, typically costs $20 to $27 per month. Instead, look into buying a used instrument with stores like Music Go Round, where purchase prices usually equal 1 year of equipment rental. The savings grow the longer your child sticks with the instrument. And if your child doesn't want to continue, you can usually sell the instrument back for a 50% discount. Resale stores are also a big boon for parents of athletes. Try Play It Again Sports, a $357 sports chain where you can find good, used sporting gear. Tip 7, go where replacements are free. It's one of parenthood's great mysteries is how kids manage to break, split, or otherwise destroy what seem like a perfectly good pair of jeans or a nice backpack. I used to buy my son Paul backpacks at a local store for $45, only to find them broken within weeks. When our son, now 18, wore through 2 backpacks in a single school year, one consumer decided to buy a better backpack, $75 one from jansport.com, but it came with a guarantee. First of all, the child, who admits to being tough on backpacks, broke the straps. JanSport repaired them for free. When he busted the zipper, they sent a brand new pack back for free. Other places offer similar things, such as L.L. Bean and Land's End. Tip 8, crunch college cost. Purchasing new textbooks can take a bite out of any college budget, but there are new ways to save online. The rental site Chegg, Chegg.com, will rent students a popular biology textbook for a semester for only $49 versus the $186 to buy a new one. BookRenter.com provides a similar service. You can also apply for a tax credit to get reimbursed for up to $2,500 and college tuition and expenses, including book cost, if you visit the website American Opportunity Tax Credit. That can save you more than $2,500 a year. Now for our Ask Peggy column, the question and answer articles by Peggy Post. The first question. My daughter and her best friend go to camp together every summer, but this year her family can't afford it. Should I offer to help pay? Answer. How well meaning your offer may be, you could offend or embarrass the parents. Even if you're friends, it might create an awkwardness. They might, for example, feel compelled to reciprocate. Then you'd be creating another burden for them instead of lifting one. Find other ways for the girls to be together. Invite the friend to spend a few days at your house or join your family on a short trip. Or check to see whether the camp has a scholarship program. Next question. A group of teens blast the music at the community pool, but the lifeguards don't care. What do you do? Here's Peggy's answer. The kids make noise, so cut them some slack. But if the blare is too much and you know the kids or they seem friendly, politely ask them to turn down the volume. Otherwise, you might spark a confrontation. So you may just need to speak with the pool manager. Question. It's annoying when I send email invitations asking people to RSVP and they don't. How hard is it to hit reply? What can I do? Here's Peggy's answer. This is a widespread problem no matter how the invitation is issued. Send a second email requesting an RSVP and add your phone number. It's okay to give a cutoff date, especially if you have details to finalize, like a head count for a caterer. If you haven't gotten an answer and the party date looms, ask the non-responder in person or by phone. Take the high road to avoid your annoyance. Our last question. Do you confront a beach bum? Your friend borrows the sunscreen you splurged on and nearly empties the bottle. Do you ask her to replenish your supply? Here's Peggy's answer. No. Just don't lend it to her again. If she asks, tell her your supply of the pricey sunscreen is nearly depleted. The truth about the bottle she used. You might want to have a less expensive brand on hand for such requests, and that might diffuse some of the awkwardness. Rachel's Rules for a Delicious Life. The 6 key ingredients, including how to shake off negative thinking, how to keep off the pounds, and the 1 marriage ritual worth savoring every day, by David Keeps. Rachel Ray has a secret. The kitchen superstar with a syndicated talk show, several hits on the Food Network, and her own magazine, Every Day with Rachel Ray, really doesn't do it all. At least not when she's at home with the man she married in 2005, lawyer and musician John Cusimano. I never do the dishes because my husband has an affinity for it, Ray recently told Good Housekeeping, and I'm also not allowed to touch the coffee maker. For a woman who acts like she's never heard of decaf, those are likely the only domestic chores that she ignores. It's certainly not that she's afraid of work. Over the past decade, since her humble starts in an upstate New York grocery store where she taught customers how to prepare 30-minute meals, Ray, 41, has built a wildly successful multi-million dollar empire. She has written almost 2 dozen best-selling cookbooks and even has her own line of EVOO, Rachel Speaks, for extra virgin olive oil and cookware. I felt I've earned the Good Housekeeping seal when I designed an oval-shaped spaghetti pot, she said, because spaghetti is long. But if there's one thing Rachel would really like to invent, it's this daytime clone, she said. I have 4 to 5 jobs on any given day, and I could use a couple more Rachels. With an ever-growing number of plates to keep spinning, she'll be featured on the new cooking channel. Another book, Rachel Ray's Look and Cook, will be published this year, and there's also her children's character, her children's charity, Yum-O. Ray has often said that sleep is overrated. Of course, Rachel's particular gift is making challenging things look simple, or at least look fun. But getting from her supermarket start to an icon status hasn't always been easy. Rachel has had her share of setbacks and has made some hard choices. But from it all, she's learned how to cook up what's really wonderful in life. Here's her simple recipe. Remember your roots. It's not an exaggeration to say that Rachel Ray was born to cook. Her mother, Elsa, was the daughter of a Sicilian immigrant stonecutter who taught Ray's mother not only the value of hard work, but also the joy of his native cuisine. Elsa married James Ray, and they own 3 restaurants on Cape Cod. Rather than leave her young kids, Maria, Rachel, and Manny, with sitters, she brought them to work. Rachel, the second of the 3 Ray children, was born in August of 1986, grew up in kitchens. Reportedly, vino was the first word she spoke. The budding food superstar's earliest memory is of burning her thumb on a grill. Good food and warm kitchen are what makes a house a home, says Ray. Today, she models hers after her greatest influence. I've always tried to make my home like my mother's, because Mom was magnificent at stretching a buck when it came to decorating and food. Like a true Italian, she valued beautification in every area of her life, and I try to do the same. She raised me with great aesthetics and taught me that you don't have to be rich to live a rich life. Ray's parents, who relocated the family to Lake Luzerne, New York, in the early 1970s, divorced when Rachel was around 13. Her mother took a job opening and managing 9 locations for a restaurant group. The Ray kids never had to worry about after school or summer jobs. We did every crap job there was, dishwasher, bus girl, Ray says. The vivacious 5'4 Ray was always a dynamo. She was a high school cheerleader for the Lake George Warriors, the one who climbed to the top of the pyramid and then flipped into the arms of the other cheerleaders, she explained. She also created her own food gift basket business called Delicious Liaisons while still a student. After graduating in 1986, Ray attended Pace University, just north of New York City, to study literature and communications, but stopped after 2 years to work and save money while considering her career goals. She rented a cabin in the Adirondacks, not far from where she grew up. The rent back then was $550 a month, and at times she was barely able to cover it. Over the years, despite her success, she has retreated to that cabin, which she later bought for $100,000 as her first big splurge, as often as possible, and considers it her home. She also stays grounded by talking to her mother, who still lives upstate, every day by phone. She remains fiercely loyal to her old buddies there, to people who supported her before she became a household name. When Donna Carnival, a friend and colleague at a gourmet market, left her job in a dispute, Rachel followed her. She's extremely loyal, beyond loyal, says Carnival. She had no job lined up, nothing. Hiroko Kiffner, publisher of Lake Isle Press, which puts out 13 of Ray's cookbooks, agrees. Rachel has a long-term memory for those who helped her get started. We will always be a part of each other's lives because we have a shared history. We're good friends. She's an equally dependable ally to new friends, too. Chef Mario Batali, a Food Network colleague and author of Molto Gusto, says Ray will go the extra mile for anything I would ask of her. Her friends value not just her loyalty, but the wisdom she shares. People think of her as just eye candy, but she is crazy business savvy and is really smart. Having grown up with small-town values, Ray understands the importance of relationships, says Brooke Johnson, president of the Food Network. The lessons of Rachel's success is that she feels real because she is real. She's the girl next door who has figured out what's important and what isn't. She's the epitome of staying true to yourself. Pursue your passions. It was a newspaper ad for a candy counter manager in Macy's Fine Foods Market that brought Ray to New York City. Her pleasing personality may have been what got her the job, and she was soon fast-tracked to move into management positions in the fashion accessory department. There was just one problem. Ray loved working with food. She declined the opportunity and took a spot at a gourmet store instead. But her Manhattan adventure lasted only a couple of years. After a bad romantic breakup, a broken ankle, and two muggings, she was done. People have a lot worse things happen to them in life, she said, but I felt like the whole universe was telling me, you're not supposed to be here right now. So she went back upstate. In the safety of a familiar place, she realized that putting in 100 hours a week in a fast-paced Manhattan wasn't all that wonderful. I thought I had this great life, but I had a lousy one, she said. If you're going to work that hard, it should be for something with your name on it. What happened next is something Rachel calls a happy little accident. Working as a food buyer and preparing dishes at a gourmet grocery in Albany, New York, she came up with the idea of offering cooking classes. When she couldn't find a chef to teach them, she stepped in and with what would become her signature 30-minute meals. Before long, she was doing demonstrations on local television. By 1999, her first cookbook, a compilation of half-hour meals, was released and sold 100,000 copies in 2 weeks at the local Price Chopper grocery stores. During a snowstorm in March of 2001, Rachel got a call from a desperate producer at the Today Show. Guests were canceling due to the weather. Could Ray sub in? Ray and her mom packed up their pots and pans and headed out. Because of the snow, the normally 4-hour drive took them 9, but her segment on cooking soup was a success. She told them she'd be there, says Johnson, and because of her work ethic, she made good on it. The rest, a contract with the Food Network, books, a talk show, and products, is now part of pop culture. honoring her instincts has served Ray well, she said. My life came out way better without me planning it. She may not have planned it, but Ray clearly knew food was her future and wouldn't be discouraged. As Guy Fieri, host of 3 Foot Food Network shows, puts it, she started out doing demos in stores, then landed one show, which turned into 2, and then it just blew up. Once you meet her, you understand just what a powerhouse she is. There isn't a coincidence. She has the opportunity. She was destined for this. Modesty is the best policy. No matter how successful she is, Ray remains endearing, down to earth. I have no formal anything, she says. I'm completely unqualified for any job I've ever had. She often repeats these 4 humble words. I am not a chef. I have heard her say it, and that's charming but unjustified, said Food Network's Johnson. She is a world-class recipe developer, and Rachel can claim that, but she never will. In fact, one of the first times Ray met with Food Network, almost 10 years ago, she felt she didn't fit in. She said, "You guys are champagne. I'm beer out of a bottle. I don't belong here." Of course, she was proven wrong on that account. The network executives offered her a $300,000-plus contract. On camera, the enthusiastic host was a tonic, everything most celebrity chefs couldn't be. She clattered pans, dropped food, measured ingredients in unconventional ways, and joked when she messed up. This honest approach has served her well. In 2006, she was named the 2nd most trusted celebrity by Forbes magazine. No one can become as popular as her without enduring some criticism, and Ray has encountered plenty of it, both on her personal and professional level. Her response? Turn it into a joke. On the subject of a website that ridiculed her, she replied, "What am I going to do? Call them up and scream at them? You have to like me. It's like trying to get the class bully to be your buddy. It's a waste of time." Ray can even make fun of her trademark phrase, "Yum-o," she said. "It just came out of my mouth one day. Yum and oh, my God, mushed together. Whatever, we sold a lot of t-shirts with that one." "I think a sense of humor carries her through," says Johnson. Rachel takes her work seriously, but she doesn't take herself seriously. Marriage is what you make it. Ray, who wed in Tuscany in 2005, is completely honest about the fact that she's a career woman first and a wife second. "I can't give a man an enormous amount of attention," she explained, "and John is totally down with that," another trait of his that she loves. "I'm not a better cook than he is," she said. Ray has never compromised her career for romance. If the men in her life complained that she wasn't making enough time for them, she simply dumped them. She met John at a party in 2001 when her career was starting to sizzle. By that point, she hadn't decided that she wasn't going to chase a husband. "You shouldn't marry anyone you have to try too hard for," she said. It helps that John, an attorney, is involved with her business. She is also supportive of her husband, who is a lead singer in a band called The Cringe. Rachel goes to most of John's band's gigs, virtually all of them. Despite their busy schedules, they are nesters. They're very turtle-like, she says, and they have nice places to nest. There's the getaway in upstate New York, the original cabin, a new home in Southampton, New York. In New York City, it's a 5-level apartment with a poker room and a rooftop deck and garden. Ray, however, fell for the place because of the kitchen. It had a pull-out spice rack. She kept the black marble countertops and simply painted the cupboards to match. "I'm practical like that." Like many hardworking couples today, she and John keep connecting via small-scale bonding rituals. "John and I will stay up long enough to have a laugh and share a meal, even if it's really late," she explained early in her marriage. "So we have a few less hours to sleep. Maybe life is a few days shorter. I'll be richer on the other end." While motherhood may be possible, Rachel turns 42 in August, it's not on the agenda. "I work too much to be an appropriate parent," she says. "I feel like a bad mom to my dog," her beloved pit bull Isabu, "some days because I'm not there enough." Still, children are never far from her heart and mind. She's deeply involved in children's nutritional issues, perhaps the most significant problem we have in America, says Batali. In 2006, Ray launched Yummo, a nonprofit healthy eating and cooking initiative for kids. It's working in collaboration with the William J. Clinton Foundation and the American Heart Association. When life gives you limits. As a child, Ray suffered from croup, which kept her in bed. Even then, she wasn't about to let her cough slow her down. Under a vaporizing tent made from broomsticks and sheets, she would happily work away on whatever she found fascinating. The croup gave Rachel her signature, slightly gravelly tone, and she's been prone to problems with her voice throughout her life. Last summer, Ray underwent surgery for a benign cyst on one of her vocal cords. For a self-confessed chatty Kathy, complying with the doctor's recuperation order of 2.5 weeks without talking was quite an accomplishment. To vent her excess energy, Ray started jogging, at first just to fill 3 minutes when she was feeling antsy. I used to say I would never run unless I was being chased by someone with a gun, but now I'm a little obsessed with it. By autumn, the carb-loving cook who kept eating what she always had lost 2 inches from her waist, which allowed her to buy jeans 2 sizes smaller. I feel more fit, she says, and I have a little more energy, which is ridiculous. Her regimen, 3 miles a day on a treadmill or an elliptical machine, 6 days a week. She's not given up her proper dinner, which she calls the most essential part of her day. I try to eat well, she says, adding she never feels guilty about what she eats. I grew up with the Mediterranean diet, so I don't eat a lot of butter and fat. I eat a lot of vegetables and good, fresh-looking food. She claims she hasn't stepped on scales in years. I don't want to be a size zero, she says. I got the fat pants and the skinny jeans. Everything I own has stretch in it, because all good things must give. Do what you love. Rachel is a force of nature, says Johnson, the Energizer Bunny, and off camera she may even be a little more intense. She seems to have 2 modes, either doing what she loves or doing something close to nothing. I'm happiest at home when I'm curled up in bed with my dog Isabu and my hubby watching a movie or eating Sunday brunch, she says. But if she's not chilling, you'll find her where she pursues her true passions, in the kitchen. Rachel's idea of a good time is coming home from a day of cooking and then cooking a big dinner and kicking back with a glass of wine, says Food Network's Johnson. We went to Sicily together, and she went to the market in the morning and cooked at night. Cooking clearly is more than a vocation. It's a vocation and a vacation for Rachel, helping busy people discover the ease and joy of making their own inexpensive meals at home is her mission. When I receive letters from people telling me that I've helped them in some way to overcome the fear of the kitchen, she noted, then I know I've done my job and I've made a difference. And to use another 4 of her favorite words, how cool is that? Here's a quick tip from Good Housekeeping Magazine for the summertime events that you might be doing in the garage or the yard. A fire extinguisher and a first aid kit will help you handle any emergencies that might arise in the garage or the yard without you having to run into the house when time is at its most precious. Be sure to check the fire extinguisher, make sure it works properly, and hang it on a cork board or somewhere you can get at it quickly. Here's another summer tip. Shower caps. Snag those hotel freebie shower caps to cover your shoes before packing them in a suitcase. The plastic keeps dirty soles from sullying clothes. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of From Soups to Nuts. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Beth Ludwig, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. This program is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. So long, until next time.